Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, March the 17th, 2013.
Well, good evening. It's great to have you with us tonight. We've got kind of a full schedule tonight in our service, so I want to give you just a few brief announcements, and then we're going right into a Skype call with Tim Meyer. He's on the line listening to us now, but looking forward to talking with him in just a few minutes. Just to remind the official board that there is a meeting tonight after the service. There is next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We'll be having some special music in the morning service. Some of the kids will be joining us, so we're going to look forward to that. Next Sunday evening, we're having a Passover Seder in the fellowship hall, so there will be some food. It won't be extended, but it'll kind of give us an idea of some of those things, and Fred Bennett will be carrying us through that. So we will meet in the fellowship hall next Sunday evening. And then, of course, the next week is Easter Sunday. The choir and orchestra have been working on the music, I Will Rise. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's got some great songs like Because He Lives and He is Lord and Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. But it's also got some newer songs for All You've Done and All Because of Jesus and some other things that I think you're really going to enjoy. So please join us for that on Easter Sunday. They found some glasses yesterday when they were cleaning in here. Could be school, could be church, but just wanted to make sure. And I will leave those up here on the pulpit here so you can get those when you see them or if you need them. You may have trouble seeing them, right? Okay. Two prayer requests. One, Pastor left this afternoon to go up to ABWE for a board meeting, and just in explaining some things this week, some things that they really need to settle, so please pray for just guidance in those meetings. And then Kurt Howe was just telling me that Jim Hostetter is in the hospital, and he's got an infection, and they're really just trying to find the proper medications. So without a lot of detail, just pray that the medications that they're trying to get him on work and are effective and take care of the problem, okay? So we can pray that way for him tonight. Paul, are you ready to talk to Tim? I think he's going to do it from there, and then he's going to lead us in prayer to open the service.
Yeah, we'll have a little bit of a challenge. I'm going to tell you what we're asking Tim, and then we'll hear from him, because he's not able to hear me. What's it? Up or down? Okay. We want to ask Tim about what he's been doing since he's back. He's been back to Australia for just a couple of weeks. Kevin's our expert typer here.
Okay, what have we been doing since we've been back? We've been back for about 2 weeks now, and getting over jet lag, getting back into our home, and contacting people in the church to get services started back once we come back from the Oceanic project.
I'm going to ask him to help us distinguish the Fuji and Solomon Island projects, because we've been hearing
about
both.
Questions.
And he's working on one. Awana's raising money for the other, and we get him a little mixed up. Solomon.
Fiji is a larger island. It's probably the most populated or most advanced of the oceanic nations. It's kind of a leader amongst the rest of the Melanesian countries. Solomon Islands is an archipelago of about 900 islands extending off of Papua New Guinea, about 50,000 people that live in the Solomon Islands. Fiji has half of a population of Indians who've migrated over there through the decades. So half of the population in Fiji is Hindu, where the Solomon Islands was evangelized probably over 100 years ago. And then, of course, the Catholics and the Church of England are there also. So they tend to have more of a, I guess, of a evangelical understanding amongst the people. But they're all spread out on those 600 islands that's inhabitable of the 900. Fiji lies off of the east coast of Australia, more toward Tahiti and the Polynesian islands past or up above New Zealand. But the Solomon Islands is just off the coast of Papua New Guinea on our northeast coast from Australia. It's been a 2 or 3 year ordeal for the preparation for the Bible distribution. It's been a learning curve for me, but it pretty much started out as we had to have the text sent over from the United States. We had it collated here in Australia. My daughter did artwork for the Plan of Salvation, and we wrote the Plan of Salvation and put it in the front of the Bible and have them collated and bound here in Australia. Then sent them on over to Honiara on Guadalcanal. The first lot was about 28,000 Bibles. We still have about 5,000, 6,000 of those Bibles left. The rest of the project itself, once the Bibles were there and printed and over there, then I coordinated the distribution of it. I wanted to have a hand-to-hand giving out of the Bibles. I didn't want just to send boxes. We couldn't do that because of the corruption and because of the poverty. I wanted to make sure that the Bibles got into the hand of the students. So next step was the distribution, hand-to-hand of going to each school. Malaita, we did 48 schools. On Guadalcanal, we've got about the same amount, but we've got about 20 of those schools left. The obstacles of the weather transportation, I guess I'll use my hand. Guadalcanal is an island about 80 miles long. Honiara is on the top. Honiara is where the U.S. Marines landed in 1940. Then because it's a volcano, road's on the south side. So the south side is the side that's open up to the cyclonic weather that goes through earlier this year. It's actually still hanging on. But it's called the weather coast because of the cyclones that go down between Australia and the Solomon Islands, pushing the winds up against the south side of Guadalcanal. And then because it's so mountainous, it immediately rains, probably rains every day. So that's why it's called the weather coast. Another obstacle has to do with not just the terrain. And it's a place that you can only get to by boat from Honiara. And then if you want to hike it, you can do that over the mountains. So it's become a place of where renegades and escapees, those that were in the tension several years ago, they went to the weather coast to hide. Main reason we asked Brother Don to come, or we were asking for, I guess, men to come, because I knew I needed men who would just be able to go a week or two in remote places. I needed, you know, just somebody that would have some, be able to stick to it, almost army style or outback style. So I couldn't have a lot of people. I had to have just a few, and then I needed men because of the, I guess, the remoteness of the place. You know, you're going to have to be able to camp overnight or sleep on a boat and pit toilets or take a bath in a river and those sort of things. So Brother Don will be a help, first of all, physically. Then secondly, I've done this before, and I just don't like doing it alone. And it's always good to have someone else there to be an encouragement and for us to be an encouragement to them. It just gives you the encouragement to go day by day when you have someone else there to do it with you. Brother Don will be sharing a testimony. We do get to present the gospel. We usually have about a 40-minute service at each of the schools. And so we have the opportunity to share the gospel, and then each person, as we hand out Bibles, then get time after the program to talk one-on-one with the young people and teachers and those there in the school. So really looking forward to having Brother Don come and help us. Thank you, and appreciate it, and Lord bless, and appreciate the support that Grace has been giving us for the last few years. Pray for us, especially for safety.
Okay, it's just a little awkward that way, but we'll have Don here. Let me ask him about where he stands with his preparation, and then we'll pray for this trip.
It's kind of been amazing the way this has all been coming about. I feel like, have you ever had two big slices of bread, and then you have this nice thin coat of mayonnaise in between? That's what I used to eat when I was a kid. But you had the group from Norway that had to, you know, kind of get out the door, and then now you've got 28 ladies that's going to be going down to Dominican Republic for doing theirs. So I'm kind of this thin layer. Don also is also part of that. So I guess you'd be maybe really be peanut butter and jelly, I guess. That'd be the best thing. As far as preparation is concerned, I'm still about $800 short. I believe that's what was in the bulletin this morning. I believe God will bring it all in before I go. I leave on April the 7th at 7 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I've already got the plane tickets and everything. The only thing that I've got to get more prepared is I got to start taking my malaria pills. So anybody here taking malaria pills before? All right. You know what I've got to go through. So. And that's another thing. Two things specifically that I would ask for you to help pray about while we're gone. Number one is logistics. He has sent me email telling me just exactly the things that, you know, that they're waiting on. You know, here you heard about boats. We're talking about 20-foot boats, maybe a little bit bigger. But there'll be four of us, and then we'll have the rest of the island that we have to deal with. The other one is physical, the physical ability to be able to do just exactly what we need to do. Running around in the jungle. Has anybody here ever been to Guadalcanal? I see no hands. Okay. But that's the area that we're going to be at down there in the Solomon. It's the first time I've ever gone below the equator. So, I understand there's a lot of rain that I'm going to have to deal with, so that's another issue that I'm not, I am kind of used to it because they always say, was it? It rains on the Army, never in the Army. So anyways, those are the things that I would ask you to please help me and, you know, keep us up in prayer.
Okay. I'd say that's a unique word picture because now we're going to think of Don every time we spread mayonnaise. Hadn't heard that one before. Let's pray for this project. We'll start our service here tonight and go on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've put before Tim and others, for helping him to recognize and seize that, and for the Bibles that have been prepared, for the things that have been laid out. We ask for open hearts and that you will continue the work of getting Bibles into the hands of people who will read and understand, that you'll prepare the way. Thank you that Don is able to be part of that trip, bring in the rest of the funds that he needs. We ask for this physical preparation and mental preparation and all that it takes to be able to go and do. Keep each one strong. We pray for the weather and safety and all of the things that contribute to making this a success. We ask that you'll go before it. Pray for Tim as he's separated from Bonnie for a while, and as they make their way back to Australia, we ask that you will lead him in ministry and continue to use him for yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Paul. Stand with me as we begin singing tonight and worship the Lord in song. You've heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves.
We have heard the joyful sound.
Ask the ladies trio to come and share with us at this time.
I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Embrace the cross where Jesus suffered, though it will cost all you claim. Yours, your sacrifice. treasure where Jesus holds in store. Embrace the love the cross requires. Cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus mountains of compassion. Only He can fashion your heart to burn as His. Oh, wondrous cross, our desires rest in You. Oh, Lord Jesus, make us bolder to face with courage the shame and disgrace You bore.
Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Bill Fortner is coming to introduce our special guest. I was going to introduce you, but you come on up.
Amen. It's great to see you here tonight, and we praise the Lord for the privilege of being able to share what God is doing in Romania. Just a brief introduction. Frontline Fellowship started in 1973, and our mission and the God call upon all of us was smuggling Bibles and songbooks and children's literature into Eastern Europe and training national pastors and Christian leaders. And we would do that in every city, every place, every country we went. God gave us opportunity to train and train and train, opening the Word of God until you literally ran out of voice. One of the joys that God gave us was meeting national pastors and others who did not bow the knee to communism, but were willing to stand up for Christ. And this young man that you're going to hear tonight, his father was one of those pastors, Pastor Varel, a young church planter at that time. And what a delight it was to work with him. And our founder, the founder of our mission, Brother Don Kyer, became very close to this family and very close to Brother Pastor Varel and his ministry and the way God was using him. And the delight was that, and Daniel may tell you a little more about this, but when Daniel was 12 years old there in Romania, Brother Don Kyer had the privilege of leading this young man to the Lord. What an exciting thing to see what God is doing. Daniel was later, after graduating from seminary, went to Texas, and he became an American citizen and married his wife Marietta there. And then God put on their heart the call to go back to their own country to be able to preach and teach the Word of God. And Daniel, and you'll see his prayer card out there. I trust that you will pick up one of those. And I trust you'll pick up one of our newsletters, and maybe you'd like to receive those. The last newsletter has an article about Daniel. It tells you a little bit about his ministry. Daniel is a missionary with Frontline Fellowship. He's going back. He is already back in his country, been back there 3 years. And Daniel is a minister to our Romanian staff, to our Romanian teachers. We have teachers that teach 5 days a week. He's a minister to those who are students, both those that we are recruiting and those who are in the school. And he is a mentor to our graduates. He goes out to the graduates, they're planting churches, and we have over 100 churches that our men have planted, all over Eastern Europe, but in particular Romania, Serbia, Moldova, and Ukraine. And Daniel works with them. This is a story of one of those. He went with this young man, Vasilika Pea, and Vasilika started a church in this village with seven people. And Daniel took our van with the Jesus film. We have a completely evangelistic equipped van with a movie projector, the DVD projector, the lights, the sound, you know, everything. He took them down there. They had 70 people attend. And what a blessing that was to this young church planter. And that's what Daniel does. He is a mentor. He is going to share with you tonight some of what God is doing through his life. And I trust you'll pick up one of the prayer cards and also the sign up for the prayer letter so you can learn more about what God is doing in Eastern Europe. And of course, it's a delight to be able to open the word. Daniel, won't you come? And before Daniel comes, we're going to see a DVD, tell you a little bit about his ministry, and then he'll come and open the word.
Please stand with me so we can read from the Bible, from Jeremiah chapter 1. We will read from verse 4 to verse 9. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee. And before those came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, said the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to be together. Thank you that you save us. Thank you for your Son. We declare tonight that we love you. We need your presence. Bless us with your presence this evening and give us your word. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. It is such a privilege for me to be with you in this evening, and it's a privilege for me to share what God is doing in Romania and what God is doing with our family in Romania. And it was a nice surprise when one of your ladies here came and spoke with me Romanian perfectly. So I'm very impressed. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity that I have to be in your church in this evening. Thank you for the opening the pulpit for me. I would like to look tonight with you in the book of Jeremiah. Took a couple of things, and in the same time I will try to flip my PowerPoint so you see some of the picture that I have for you and some of the things that I will bring over. First thing that came to me when I read this text is verse 4. And the verse 4 is saying this: then the word of the Lord came unto me. Or the word of the Lord speak to me. One of the things the Lord put in my heart is to appreciate the word of the Lord. For so many times we are treating the word of the Lord like something like it's a common thing. We are used with the word of the Lord. We carry our Bibles with us all the time. And we are so used with the word of the Lord. But Jeremiah is saying here, the word of the Lord came unto me. What a privilege we have today that the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Can you imagine that today when we are opening our Bibles, actually we are saying the same thing that the prophet said, Lord, speak, then we will hear. Whatever you want, we're going to do. What a privilege for us to have the whole word of the Lord for us. And everything that God want to tell us, it's here. And we have the privilege every day, every second, every minute to open the word and the Lord will speak to us. My name is Daniel Tutt. We've stayed in Houston, Texas for 10 years. We like it in the States. We enjoyed the life here. I work for an oil company. God bless our family with two kids, Sarah Elizabeth and Timothy Jeremiah. And our life was going good until one day when the word of the Lord came and speak to our hearts. I told my wife, Marietta, what do you say if we go back to Romania? She looked at me funny. It was one of those days when you don't have to say nothing. Just look at her face. I'm showing you Romania because, as you can see, northeast, we are still bordering with Ukraine, Russia Federation, Belarus, all country under the communist. You can see that on the southeast, we are bordering with Turkey, which is a Muslim territory. You all know that Romania was under communist for 55 years. And just because we are not under the communist anymore, doesn't mean that the people, they don't have the same mentalities, they don't have the same habits. And the government, instead of choosing the right direction, is going into the wrong direction. So when I told Marietta, let's go back to Romania, she said, well, I know that the Lord spoke to you, but the Lord has to speak to me too. And I prayed. And one of the things that I prayed for, I prayed that the Lord will touch her heart in such a way that when the opportunity will come for us to go back to Romania, she will say, yeah, we can go. 2007, after former president of our board, Brother Don Kair, died, we start talking with Frontline again. You have to understand that we choose Frontline from many different things. First of all, we knew their work. They work in Romania from 73. For many times, we had them in our house. I know what they are doing in Romania. And it was a privilege for us to be able to work with them. Second of all, when we start working and thinking of going back to Romania, not many mission agencies was working with nationals. The good news is that today many mission agencies are working with nationals. And we believe that at Frontline, our mission statement is we want to teach, train, and support nationals. And many of you, I told you in the morning in your Sunday schools, I think it is important for us to work with nationals because of the efficiency that a national can do. Speak the language, know the culture, have a burden for their people. And of course, I will share with you tonight some aspects of the financial benefit of working with the nationals. 2009, October 2009, after we went for the interview, after we were approved, we were raising support for about 3 years or so. 2009, October, my wife asked me, when do you think we're going to go back to Romania? I said, March 2010. She looked at me funny again. She said, we cannot go back in March 2010 because our support is only 25%. We didn't rent our house. We didn't sell our car. So there are only a few months that we can do all things, and it is impossible for us to go back in March 2010. And we prayed. And she said, only if God is doing a miracle. Well, I'm here today to tell that God did the series of miracles for us to be able to go in May of 2010 back to Romania. We rent our car. We rent our house without putting a sign up for rent. We sold our cars over the price market. And the Lord made a series of miracles for us. What I want to make you understand tonight that when the word of the Lord is speaking to you, the power of that word is transforming your life. Whatever you did, whatever you want to do, is no matter issue. You will have to do what the Lord is calling you to do. What I like about Jeremiah is that he understands that the one who is speaking is the Lord. He understands the voice of the Lord. He understands that the one who is calling him to the ministry is the Lord. Of course, the question is today, how many of us do we recognize when God is speaking to us? Jeremiah, in a word of, in a culture of handmade gods, in a time of confusion, in a time of disobedience, Jeremiah recognized the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Let me just say this tonight. I think to recognize the voice of the Lord, take practice. Take practice in prayer. Take practice in listening to His word. Take practice in living out the word. When God is speaking to Samuel, do you know what Samuel did? He was serving the Lord with Eli at the temple. The trend today is this. Let the Lord speak and then we're going to go ahead and follow whatever the Lord told us to do. I think the Bible trend is different. Work for the Lord and He will tell you what to do. How do you know when your wife is calling you? How do you know when your wife is calling you? You know her voice. You know her voice. You got used with her voice. Doesn't mean if there are 30 ladies in the crowd. When your wife is calling you, you know her voice. I do believe tonight that the Lord wants all of us to be able to hear His voice like that. To know His voice. Whenever He speaks, to be able to respond to His voice. And when He speaks, we cannot be the same. We cannot do the same things. We have to do whatever He is calling us to do. Hebrew 1 is saying that God spoke to people in different manners and in different ways. And in the end of days, He spoke to His own Son. This verse is telling me that God did everything to reach us. God did everything to speak to us. And God is the one who is continually speaking to our hearts. My prayer tonight is that the Lord will continue to speak to our hearts. Amen. I always ask the students when they come to the interview, why they come to the Bible school. And trust me, I hear all kinds of strange stuff. But the answer that I'm looking for is this. I'm coming to the Bible school because I heard the voice of the Lord. Because when they hear the voice of the Lord, when God is calling them to follow Him into the ministry, that's why we need people there, people who heard the voice of the Lord, the calling of the Lord. Do you know what I discover? That when the Lord is calling us, His directions are clear. When the Lord is calling us, His directions are clear. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet unto the nations. Moses was called to be one who bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Isaiah was called to be a prophet. Joseph was called to be the second in rank in Egypt. David was called to be a king. When God is calling us, the direction is clear. He's not always giving us all His plan. No. But His direction for our life is clear. He's clear in the calling that He's making for each one of us. When the Lord called us to ministry, either though I served from 2001 to 2010 when we went back to Romania as a youth pastor and then assistant pastor in the Romanian church in Houston, Texas, when God called us to ministry, I know that we have to respond. One of the things that I like when God is calling Jeremiah, did you see anywhere in the text that God is asking Jeremiah if you want to serve? God is not asking Jeremiah if you want to be a prophet unto the nation. God is informing Jeremiah that he will be a prophet unto the nation. God is not asking our opinion if we want to go on a mission field or not. God is just informing us of our role. Many of our friends from Romania are calling us crazy. They said, you lost your mind? Nobody's moving from U.S. to Romania. I said, when God is calling you, the most important thing is not where you are, is to be in His will. When God is calling us, the most important thing is not to be in a place, is to be in His will. Our friends from the state, I just been there last week in the Romanian church, they ask us, when you come back, you are there for 3 years, enough now. I said, when God put the same burden in our hearts to move back to the States, we'll move back to the States. Because we only live once. And everything that we do for the Lord is going with us. When God is calling us, His directions are clear. Do you know what we do sometimes? We become spiritual about this. Lord, let me pray about this. And the Lord is speaking to us continuously what He wants us to do. But we want to pray about it. So my encouragement tonight, it is when the Lord is speaking to us, pay attention. Let our soul be ready to answer to that call that the Lord is calling all of us. I'm sure today here that God is not calling all of us to be missionary. God is not calling us, all of us, to be pastors. God is not calling us, is not calling all of us to be singers. But God is calling all of us to do something. Find your place. Find what the Lord wants to do for you. Listen to His voice. If we read the Bible every day, He's the one who is going to speak to our hearts. He will going to find the place for us where we can serve and where we can minister and be an encouragement for others. Another thing that I discover is that when God is calling, He's the one who is providing. When God is calling, He's the one who is providing. Jeremiah is saying, Lord, I am just a child. Moses is saying, Lord, I cannot speak. Isaiah is saying, Lord, I am unclean. And of course, all these answers are good. Because none of us should feel worthy of His calling. But He is calling and He is providing. He took care of Jeremiah. He asked Moses, who do you think created the mouth? Who do you think created the tongue? He cleaned Isaiah. And the Lord can use each one of us if we are ready to answer His calling. To Jeremiah in verse 5, we have some great words here. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before those came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Before I formed thee, the Creator is speaking here to Jeremiah. The one who formed Jeremiah, the one who sanctified Jeremiah. And in verse 8, He's saying, be not afraid, I will be with thee. When God formed us, He put in us all the abilities that we need to respond to His calling. When God formed us, He put in us all the necessities that we need to respond to His calling. Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. Lord said, don't worry about it. I send you. I put my words in your mouth. Do not afraid. I will be with you. For us, we came to a question in our life that we had to answer. I stood with my wife in our living room, 2010. And the question for us, it was this, are we going to mission field because we are drawing a paycheck from the mission field, or are we going to the mission field because God called us to the mission field? And I know your church is very mission-minded, and I know that there are here people who has been in a mission field, and they know that when God is getting a grasp of your heart, there is no obstacle that can stop you to go on a mission field. Our board were not very happy with us going on 25% on a mission field. But I can tell you one thing. I'm here today to testify, if I can say that, that the Lord is the one who is providing. That the Lord is the one who takes care. We left USA 3 years ago because we understand that this is God's calling and God's will, and God will for us, and He will provide. We had our ups and downs. One of the things that both of us understood is how to trust in the Lord. When we've been here in the States, we had good jobs, good paychecks, nice car to drive. We knew that every 2 weeks our paycheck will go into the bank. And it's easy to speak about trusting the Lord when you know that your paycheck will come into the bank. And it's easy to speak about trusting to the Lord when your car is outside. It's easy to speak about trusting to the Lord when everything is going well for you. What we learn is to trust in the Lord when you don't have all these things laid out, when you have to trust that He will provide. How? I don't know, but He did. What we learn is to be faithful when you are called by the Lord in His ministry, and He will be faithful to you. Jeremiah is one of the greatest prophets that they had. The Lord used him mightily, but he went with this promise that the Lord made to him: I will certainly be with you. I will be with thee always. What a great promise today, that the Lord will be with us when He is calling us to the ministry. Just for you to give you an idea, and I would like to come to an end. Before 1989, when my dad was baptized in Arad, near Arad, in a village there, because he didn't was approved by the Communist Party to be baptized on the Sunday service, a group of the candidates, the pastor and a few members from the board, on a Saturday night, they went at the river and they baptized the rest of them who didn't were approved by the Communist Party to be baptized. Because when the Lord is calling you, you cannot resist of that calling that the Lord is making you. Romania, it's 87.9% or something like that Orthodox. And some of you that know about the Orthodox Church, it's close to the Catholic Church. They venerate the saints. They worship the saints. The priest is king. And we had a couple of instances in the village when we start a ministry and the priest will go to people's houses and tell them not to come to our ministry. In Jirok Baptist Church, we start a ministry of a kids ministry. First Saturday, we had 60 kids. Next Saturday, we had 16. The priest went door to door, tell them not to come to our ministry. And in this word and in this society, Lord, call us to serve Him. This is the churches where I served with my dad. Just being the coordinator of the school didn't was enough for me. So I'm serving as an assistant pastor with my dad. It's such a joy for me to be able to see how God is blessing His ministry, to see what God is doing in our church there, in our community. And I understand and I learned that when we are faithful to the Lord, He is faithful to us. Of course, the question tonight is, what can you do? You know that all the missionaries who are coming to your church and speaking to your church, they all want something. Well, you can pray. We definitely need people to lift up in their prayers. You can encourage us. Many times when we are in Romania and we receive an email from somewhere in the States, from people that are praying for us, it's always an encouragement for us. You can advocate for us. If you know some friends that are interested in a ministry in Romania, please pick up a prayer card for them as well. And you can give. Our level of support per month, the goal is for $2,000, $500 per week. We are right now at about $800, $1,200 needed to be full supported. 12 individuals to give $100 per month. Would you be one of them? And I'm praying tonight that the Lord will speak to your heart and listen to His calling, to His word, and may He bless in everything. Amen. If you want to find more information about us, statmission.org. If you want to find more information at our board, frontlifefellowship.org. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to speak in your church. May the Lord bless you. And if you come to Romania, please give us an email. Let us know that you are there. We'll invite you to see our ministry there. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Appreciate that.
and the vision that you have there in Romania. And Brother Bill, we appreciate your ministry as well. We've held the offering to the end, and we want to take that now. So if the ushers would come, and anything that's undesignated tonight, or if you want to designate it to, I guess Frontline Ministries would probably be the best way to do that. And anything that's not designated will go toward Brother Tut and his ministry tonight. Dan, would you pray for us, please?
Thank you now for this offer. It's great that you give generously.
Pastor said this morning that our Norway team was just back, and we've got two of them. They're going to have an opportunity to share with us a little more in detail in a few weeks, but I just want them to give a word and just maybe a couple of prayer requests that you can share with us.
Okay. Yeah, it was really great just going out and really starting relationships with some of the students there, because there's several colleges. Trondheim is known as kind of like a student center, a college center, many universities. It was really great getting to almost seems like whims, you know, but you know it's really God working. It's making friends with people. They came to a conversational English time we had, made friends with them, talked with them, had a good time. The next day, some of us went souvenir shopping, and two of the students followed us around or showed us around the city, and they ended up coming to the conference and asking for Bibles or accepting Bibles that Scott and Jim, the other leader, gave them. So that was really exciting. Made friends on Facebook with a lot of them, so we're going to keep in touch. And so if you could pray for the ministry there, that'd be great.
Just a couple more things, I guess. The conference, for sure, that concluded today, and then we got that message back about the Bibles that were given, which is huge. I think the biggest thing that was really exciting was that the pastor and church leaders there in that area said, we experience miracles. People do not walk into a Baptist church. And so for us to see six students come for conversational English, we're like, okay, we talked to all these different people and we only have six, but we were excited they were there. But for them, afterwards, they just said, this is a miracle. This is just a miracle for us. And so very encouraging for the locals there, for the church leaders there, for those who are in attendance in that church body. So it was definitely just a time to encourage and minister to them as well as their community. I think kind of a neat way, because it's so snowy and so cold there. Just the idea of like a layer of ice being over a lake and just tapping into that and knowing like there's water underneath, but you've got to cut through a little bit of that surface with those people. And that was one of the challenges we faced a little bit was just that those cultural differences as far as initiating conversations. But with the students, once we got a chance to talk with them, a lot of them have been thinking through a lot of spiritual questions, but maybe not just having people to ask them those things and to talk through some things with them that way. So if you continue to pray, and I think as a team, this is something we've talked about, wanting to really develop a partnership with that church there. So.
Thank you, guys, and I look forward to maybe hearing a little bit more along the way. So let's pray tonight for the folks that they came in contact with, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for Brother Tut and the ministry there in Romania and his family. We pray for the Bible Institute and Frontline Ministries and everything that is happening in that area, Lord, and around that region, that you would just bless. We pray for the contacts that our college kids and some of the others that went along in that group, Lord, that had with those in Norway. And we pray specifically for even some of these contacts that Aaron said that he and Elise have on Facebook, and we'll continue to develop those relationships. May you intervene in those and give them great opportunities to share the gospel, and that we can see down the road that these folks have trusted you. We pray for specifically the conference that's taken place the past few days, and we pray for hearts that have been touched by your word, that they'll be changed, forever changed, eternally. We give you praise for what you've done in our hearts and lives today. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for just what you do for us on a day-to-day basis, moment by moment. Please help us to trust you and your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We love you today, tonight, and pray that we'd be bold in our witness this week. In your precious Son's name we pray, amen. Thank you. Lord bless you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.